We start hour number three by having a conversation with an NFL Network and CBS Sports analyst, a three-time Super Bowl champion, a five-time Executive of the Year, a Morehouse College Fellow. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Pioli 51. Host of a new podcast called Tapeheads, along with Dan Orlovsky. And that's available twice weekly wherever you listen to your podcasts. At Al, in fact. Scott, it is so good to have you on the program. How are you?
Oh, Jim, it's great to be back with you. Gosh, it's been way too long. Hey, I love the intro with a little Iggy Pop. I mean, who does that?
Me fantastic. For about 30 years.
You got it, Scott. I listen, right?
I know. I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate Iggy. Iggy deserves some respect and some love, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad you gave it to him. I should have done it sooner. Listen, before we get to the podcast, and it's so good to have you back, Scott, in the start of the year, how are you doing? How is your life right about now? You sound great. How are you feeling?
I'm doing well. I really appreciate you asking. Doing well. We've had a little life transition here. Our one and only daughter graduated. So we moved out of Atlanta, and we are back up in the Northeast. So life is good right now. I really appreciate you asking, Jim.
Glad to hear that, Scott. Good stuff. All right, so as a team executive, I'm curious, what are the first two games of the season like for you? Like, how many conclusions can you legitimately draw from two games, and then how does that impact decision-making going forward?
Well, I don't know if you can jump to too many conclusions, but it's starting to give you a little bit of clarity. Would be the best way to say it, because you're seeing some things in the first 2 weeks. Your coaches are trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work with the players that you have, the new players. I mean, some of that was obviously taken care of in the preseason. For some of the teams that have newer leadership, I really believe that you can't overreact and get too positive or too negative. So I think you're sorting through a lot of things at this point in time. You have an idea what your team is going to be and what it's going to be like. And you're finding, you know, the big thing is, how healthy are you week to week? So it's, to me, I am just not a big believer in overreactions in any way, Jim.
We're talking to Scott Pioli. He's got a brand new podcast called Tapeheads, which we will get into momentarily. So, Scott, to that point that, like, you don't want to overreact to anything either way. Like, Buffalo lost to Pittsburgh as an example in the home opener. Then they go on the road. They beat the Dolphins 35-0. I understand Tua went down with injury. I know this. The Bills are looking to win a Super Bowl, but how significant was that bounce-back win for Buffalo?
I think it was really important, and I think it was important how they did it, Jim. You know, one of the things that kind of surprised me in the opener was that they didn't commit to the running game a little bit more. They threw the ball, I want to say, 51 times in the opener. And Brian Daboll is a really good offensive coordinator who knows the running game and respects the running game. And to me, I thought from an offensive standpoint, things had to change. And Brian corrected that right out of the gate. You know, I mean, the big run for the touchdown at the beginning of the game was really important because a couple of things happened. We had two big downfield blocks, one by Emmanuel Sanders, one by Feliciano, the left guard, and then a kickout block. And it looked like, oh, there's running football. That makes things a lot easier for Josh Allen and the rest of the offense. So I was waiting for them to establish the run game, and they did. Then on the flip side, again, not that the Miami Dolphins are currently a offensive juggernaut, but their defense came in and laid the wood, and they needed that. That's part of what their identity, a big part of what their identity was last year. So I think that they did a great job in terms of getting to a market correction in week two.
Scott Pioli is a three-time Super Bowl champion, a five-time Executive of the Year. He's got a brand new podcast. He joins us once again. Scott, I'm curious your thoughts about what happened at the end of that Cowboys-Rams game. The Cowboys ended up winning that game on a late field goal by Greg Zuerlein that appeared to bail Mike McCarthy out. Maybe that's harsh, but maybe that's the case, because McCarthy was saying that there were issues, Scott, on the sideline regarding his ability to see the clock, and that the clock didn't really appear for him to see. What do you make of that explanation, and is that something the league needs to look into?
I think this is a great question, and you're on to something here, Jim. I know Mike McCarthy, and I trust him in his word. And here's what I will say. I've been into new stadiums, and this is a brand-new stadium. Been into new stadiums, and you have to locate the clock. You have to have an assistant coach that locates the clock. So during the game, you can have that coach paying attention to it. And it's interestingly, I on Twitter last night, I heard what Mike said, and I went back to the film, and I looked at what ended up being a TV copy, and when you look at the stadium at that moment, in the background, it's nearly impossible to find the clock. The clock is not set alone in a space where it's prominent. The clock is part of one of those video bands or the light. I'm not smart enough in marketing to know what they call those bands that go around the inside of the stadium where they put up advertising, they put up clocks, they put up everything. And what was happening in that moment, I talked to someone that was there. They have these lights that are almost like strobe lights when they're flashing different screens on and off, and it becomes a real distraction visually. And my understanding was if you were in that stadium trying to look at where the clock was, it was a real problem. There needs to be a prominent place not only for the play clock, but for the game clock. It was easy for all of us to be sitting there and say, oh, McCarthy's full of it. You know, I saw it right there on my TV. Well, we have it right there in a small box that the networks put in a spot for us. These new stadiums, again, I was there when we opened up Mercedes-Benz, and there were moments in between plays, and that's what this was, moments in between plays where they're flashing lights on and off on different bands, and it's nearly impossible to see, Jim.
I think this is really interesting, Scott, we just said, because I got to be transparent. You know, my immediate reaction was, come on, Mike. Come on, Mike, really? Hi. This is just Mike doing Mike things, but that's really interesting the way you just laid that out. Scott Pioli is joining us. Scott, you also made the point on your podcast. I'm jumping to another topic. You made the point on the podcast that the Browns are close, but they're not quite mature enough as a team to break through and beat Kansas City. I'm curious how you think that plays out. Is that something that comes with time, perhaps over the course of this season, or does maturity come in another way? How does it play out?
Well, Jim, I think maturity can happen over the course of the season. And I've been a part of teams that, you know, do mature. They've got a number of players that are young players, but entering the phase of being young into middle age or middle experience. And I think their quarterback is one of those players. And if he stays the path that he was on last year, that will help the entire team mature more. They've got a number of really good players, again, that are getting out of that first contract mentality. And the important thing is, when I made that statement, I meant week one. They're not mature enough. They weren't mature enough to hold on, make a couple of things happen at the end of the game to beat the Chiefs. That doesn't mean that by week, or we'll call it week 18 now, by the time we get to the playoffs, I've seen so many teams improve and grow. I go back to some of our teams when I was with the Patriots. You know, that 2001 season, we had a lot of middle-aged players and free agents that we brought in that matured over the course of the season, and we got on a roll, and it obviously didn't stop. I go back to our 2003 season. You know, we got whipped in that opener, but as the season went along, we had younger players and middle-aged players that matured, including a quarterback, even more that allowed us to win. So I think it can happen during the season, Jim.
Talking to Scott Pioli. So in terms of Patriots quarterbacks, Scott, we're two games into the season, which means we're two games into Mac Jones as a starter. You spent some time with him at Alabama last season. What did you take away from that experience?
Well, what I couldn't get over was his work habits, right? A lot of people talk about players needing good work ethic. And to me, their work ethic and work habits are very different. Mac Jones has a really strong work ethic, and I know a lot of people that have strong work ethics, but if they don't have good work habits to go along with that, sometimes they're just punching into the wind. Mac Jones' routine and his preparation was unlike anything that I've seen or heard from a young player. You know, sometimes when you interview him and you're talking to him, and I got to know Mac spending some time down there and listen to him describe in detail what he did. Right. A lot of times players will be prepared for interviews and say, well, I do this, this, and this, and it's what their agent told them to do. This kid had examples. So it was his work ethic, it was his work habits, and just his overall preparation was so mature beyond his years that he's not only a smart guy, but he makes good decisions. And sometimes, Jim, those things, too, are distinctly different.
Scott, I've never heard anybody make the distinction between work ethic and work habits. Another really interesting point. Scott Pioli is joining us. Scott, really quickly, before I ask you about the podcast specifically, I'm curious about this. From the outside, it seems like the Patriots are playing to the strengths of Jones and not asking him to do too much. What about the Jets? When you see the way they're using Zach Wilson, do you think maybe they're asking too much of him at this point? And what do you make of the way they're using him?
Well, and again, I'm not a coach, right? But I've listened to a lot of smart coaches, and I think sometimes, and Zach is a perfect example, right? We all fell in love with Zach last year in the offseason. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions. Then in the offseason, he had that wow workout, his arm strength, his ability to throw and torque his body and throw from an, you know, off-platform position. And sometimes it's like in baseball, right? Everyone loves the long ball. Everyone loves the big arm. But you also have to take a young quarterback and put him in a position to succeed. You mentioned Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones is leading the league in short and sideways passes because they're putting him in high percentage situations. Last week against the Patriots, Zach Wilson was put in a situation where his first two passes that went for interceptions were 13 to 15 yards down the field from the line of scrimmage. Maybe allowing him to gain some confidence and use some of his other skilled players that don't need to be, I would encourage the Jets to not necessarily be seduced by the big arm and feel like just because you have it doesn't mean you got to use it every moment.
Scott Pioli, my guest. All right, Scott, I mentioned off the very top, you're part of a brand new podcast called Tapeheads. Now, knowing you, knowing your background, knowing how you want to choose to spend your time and invest of yourself, I'm really curious, how did the podcast come to be? Talk about the people involved with it. I'm really curious about how this whole process came about.
Yeah, the way it came about, was, I mean, truthfully, you know, I've never had an agent up until I started working in media. And David Koonin, who works with the CAA group, came to me and said, Scott, listen, NFL Films and iHeart have this idea. They want to have, you know, a couple of people, a leader, and they chose Bob Wischusen. They wanted to have a former player who's really smart and knows X's and O's, and that's Dan Orlovsky. And then they wanted someone who had some personnel background, who knew X's and O's, but also knew, you know, knew better than X's and O's, knew about players and fit and chemistry. And it sounded like a great idea. And I tell you, I know it's work, but I'm having a blast right now. You know, we're dropping our third episode today. And, you know, I give David Koonin a lot of credit for working with the folks at iHeart and NFL Films to put this thing together.
All right, so really quickly, when you're watching tape now and you're breaking it down and you're preparing for this podcast, which is something different, what types of things and details are you looking for?
Well, like when we talked about before, I was talking about what kind of passes are they throwing? Why are they throwing those passes? You know, Dan Orlovsky will break things down from an X's and O's standpoint. For instance, one of the things we talked about today was in the Giants-Washington football game, Washington football team game from last Thursday, the Giants needed to work on their protection because their offensive line was struggling against one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. So what were they doing to try to help things out to give Daniel Jones a little more time? Well, I noticed in one of these plays in the fourth quarter where Jones scrambled for 11 yards, they used Kyle Rudolph on a chip. And just using some of the many years of experience that all of us have in the game, looking at tape, finding plays, and finding out and trying to explain, without getting into too much detail, how they can work and why they work or why they don't work.
I like it. He's an NFL Network and CBS Sports analyst. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion. As I mentioned, a five-time executive of the year and a new co-host of a brand new podcast called Tapeheads. Episode 3 drops today, and that's something you want to check out. Scott, appreciate you very much. Great to have you back on the show. Great to hear your voice, and I hope we can do it again really soon.
Me too, Jim. You're always so great to be with. I not only appreciate you, but respect you. Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate
it. Mutual respect and appreciation, Scott. Thanks so much. Really do appreciate the relationship. Scott Pioli joining us. Sounds awesome.